You were just asking the question as you were singing, who am I? In the course of the next few weeks with this series of sermons, we're presenting to you each week a word that we want you to meditate on, to think about throughout the week. The words are going to fall into one of two categories. Last week, we looked at the word lavish, and you were to concentrate on how amazing the gift is that God has given you to be a child of God, the adoption in the family. So that word shows you positionally who you are as part of God's family, how you relate to Him. Now, the other category, and Connor's going to present to you today the word of solitude, some of the words are going to be how we are to engage with the Lord. Some are about who we are in the Lord, and some are about how we can engage in the Lord. And those two things together gives us a broad perspective of who we are in Him. Isn't it great to be in the family of God, church?
Just in case you guys were wondering, I'm assuming you were, I was able to guess the word right for this week. So may have had a little bit of a hint. I was going to start out talking a little bit about the basketball league, but Steve covered that a little bit, so if you guys would just keep the families and the kids in your prayers as we go about the next 6 weeks of basketball, that'd be great. But with the start of that league, it has brought no lack of things to do for Maddie and I both. And I don't think it was much of a coincidence that one of the busiest weeks that I can remember is the week that I was supposed to be preaching on solitude. So, you know. Needless to say, the Lord has really taught me a lot during the preparation of this sermon. So if you bow your head and pray with me real quick before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your provision and all the people here. Lord, would you encounter them today? Encounter them in a new way. Lord, everything that comes from my mouth, would it be from you? To bless your people. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. So, there's going to be some scripture up here on the screen. I couldn't decide on just one. I'm hitting on a lot of different points of Jesus and solitude. So, I just wanted to throw a bunch of them up on the screen that I'm going to be using during my sermon. Now, they aren't going to show up. The verses themselves aren't going to show up on the screens, but for our note takers, you can write those down. The first step I thought about when I was figuring out how to preach on solitude was, you know, I should probably come up with a definition, or at least find a definition of solitude, so that people can understand kind of what I'm trying to tell them. The first one I found, I looked it up, and it said, the state or situation of being alone. The state or situation of being alone. And I didn't think that did much justice to the true understanding that we are trying to get across about solitude. So I looked it up again, this time with a biblical definition. And I found this: withdrawal from the distractions and demands of life to spend intentional quiet time with God. And I think that one does a lot better. So we'll talk more about the practice of solitude later in the sermon, but for now I just want you to remember that definition. Withdrawal from the distractions and demands of life to spend intentional quiet time with God. Do you need me to restart one more time for you? Now, for the rest of our note takers, the rest of this I'm going to break down into three different sections here. The first one is how God relates to us through solitude. How God relates to us through solitude, through our solitude. When we commit to spending time in the presence of God, there are many different ways in which God encounters us. And I'm going to hit on a couple of the big ones. The first one is God lets us hear His voice. In a world surrounded by busyness and chaos, There's so much noise in everything. Every direction we look, everything we do, there's so much going on. But it's when we are in the silence that we can hear the voice of God. I want you to think for a second about all the times maybe you've cried out to God, wanting an answer, and then maybe we've sent up our prayer and then we've walked away and we're like, God's going to answer it, or, I hope God answers this. But we walk immediately back into our distractions, and we don't sit in the presence of God to listen for an answer from God. Think about how many times that may have happened in our lives. God may have been trying to reach you and telling you something, but we were too busy to listen. So we don't have time to listen to what God may have been saying to us. How often do we look to the fire and to the wind? We look at all these big things expecting God to work through those and speak to us through that. And God just wants to speak to us in the whisper. He just wants us to listen. God is able to encounter people wherever and whenever he wants to. I mean, he is God after all. But sometimes he wants us to be obedient before he does. And obedience looks like sitting in solitude with God, listening to his voice. Another way that God encounters us is through sitting with him, or encounters us through sitting with him, is providing conviction for the ways that we're not honoring him in our lives. So we still have the laws and the regulations, we have the Wesleyan church discipline, and we have other people around us to tell us, when we may be straying off a little bit. But I can't think of anybody better to tell us what we're doing wrong than the one who knows us better than we do. The scary or cool thing is that we can't hide anything from God. Every thought that we have or thing that we do, God sees it. So even more than we could ever remember about ourselves, God knows about us. When we sit with God, when we sit in his holiness, conviction is just brought to us through the Spirit, showing us the ways that we have not fallen up. When we address these things, we do begin to change and become more like God. Our hearts and minds are shaped by the Lord. He affirms who he is in us, and then, because of that, who we are. So when we look at God and we believe who he says that he is, then how can we look at ourselves and not believe who he says we are? That we're loved, that we're worthy, and we're valued, that we're made in his image and we have a purpose, that even if you don't want to believe it, it's true, it is. The first scripture here that we're actually going to touch on is Luke 6:12-13. And it's talking about Jesus. And it says, one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. There are two different things that we can get from this. One, we can get it from this one and all of the other passages listed up here, is that we cannot deny the importance of solitude with God. Because we see multiple different scripture references that have Jesus specifically going into solitude and silence with the Lord. The second one here is that Jesus knows that there's an important decision to be made. He knows that the rest of the church could balance on this one decision of who he chooses to be his apostles, his disciples. And so he does what anybody should do, and he seeks the only one who could help him with this decision. He goes to the Father. Just like Jesus did this, shouldn't it be our practice too? When we have an important decision to make, when we have something going on in our lives, shouldn't we go first to Jesus in solitude. No matter how much we think about something, we could never come up with the same answer or same solution by ourselves that we could with God. If you're unsure of your purpose, if you need to feel the presence of the Lord, the first step is to sit with God. This is our second point. How we benefit from connection to God through solitude. How we benefit from connection to God through solitude. I don't know about you, but when I'm at my best, physically, mentally, and spiritually, that's when I've been spending time with the Lord in the quiet place. There is a direct correlation between my time with the Lord and the way that I act. It's almost like when I'm connected with the Spirit of God, He works through me. And when I'm not, He doesn't. So connection with God brings about renewal of ourselves, renews our spirit. I was recently reminded by a friend of mine of a quote from a book that I had read a couple years ago. And it said, "When you are connected to the source of life, you become a source of life." When we're connected to God and His Spirit, we get the gifts of the Spirit. Now, all I can think about right now is the song from when I was younger, "The Gifts of the Spirit." Now, I'm not Landon, so I'm not going to sing it for you. I'll spare that for you. But when we are connected to the Spirit, we love more. We're more joyful. We have peace. We're more patient. We're more kind. We're more good because no one's good but God alone, and He's working through us. We have faith. We're more gentle. And we have more self-control. So we get the gifts of the Spirit, but the Spirit also provides comfort. In Matthew 14, we see it's talking about John the Baptist and how he was beheaded. And it continues on telling that story. But then in verse 13 and 14, it's talking about Jesus and His response to this. And it says, "When Jesus heard what had happened, He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed Him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them and healed their sick." So just using examples of Jesus from the New Testament, from the Bible, we see how God provides us a safe place to run with our grief and our sorrows. You see, John was Jesus' friend, but he was also Jesus' cousin. He was a person who prepared the way for Jesus to come. He cultivated the hearts of the people so that Jesus could have the greatest impact He could. It's right to see that Jesus felt the same feelings that we do. If the Son of God, the only sinless man ever, turned to the Father in His grief and His sorrows, then we should too. Quickly after this time with God, Jesus was back to work. There were tons of people waiting on Him. And instead of being upset that He didn't have any time by Himself, that He couldn't have a day to grieve His friend, it says that He had compassion on them and He healed them. When we come out of our time spent with God, we come with preparation. Jesus was prepared to immediately meet the needs of the people through the strength that the Father provided. We also see in Matthew 4, the time when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to fast and pray. Now this was right before Jesus' ministry, public ministry, was started, which means this was His time of preparation. He was tested by the devil multiple times, but the Lord had prepared Him through this time, prepared Him for that testing, but also for the rest of His ministry on earth and knowing the battle that it would be. Most importantly, though, when we are in silence in the quiet place with the Lord, the best thing that we could ever get out of it is a relationship with Him. Of all the things that I listed before, they don't matter if we don't have a relationship with God. The cool thing is that God knows exactly where each of us are. He knows exactly what each of us needs spiritually, mentally, and physically. And I like to think that God has like a wraparound whiteboard with an individualized plan to reach every person. But he invites us into that. He invites us into his presence. And in this meeting, we understand that the creator of the universe is the one who's speaking with us. And if he is for us, then who can stand against us? If God is on our side, what else do we need? Is there anything else in this life that we need to be able to be content? There shouldn't be. Because everything else will fail us. Everything else will leave us. But God never will. Through this contentment in the Lord, we begin to see how out of order things in our life truly are, too. Like when we get up in the morning, a lot of us roll over, we grab our phone, we get on social media, get on whatever else. We could use that same exact time that we grab our phones to be in solitude with the Lord, to be in the presence of the Most Holy God. What a difference that is. The short of the story is that when we spend time in the presence of the Lord, through silence and solitude, God encounters us and he changes us. And we only benefit from these interactions. We get to know God intimately and for ourselves. Now the third point is excuses we make / distractions we choose. Excuses we make and distractions we choose. Do we ever realize that most of our busyness that we face in life comes from voluntary things that we choose? Like, one, yes, you may volunteer at the church. That's a good thing. You're busy, but that's a good thing. But a lot of times, we choose to go home and watch a movie or a TV show, or we choose to watch our favorite sports team. Now, I know for sure, at least for me, there are things in my life that I almost never miss. For example, an IU football or basketball game, if it's on, I'm moving around my schedule. I'm doing whatever I can so I can watch that game. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, there is one at 1 o'clock. So. But my question is, how often do we do that with God? Is our solitude with the Lord a piece that we move around in our schedule? Or is that the piece that we move everything else around? We make ourselves so busy that we don't have time to think. We keep ourselves distracted. I've heard a lot of times by a lot of different people that I'm just too busy to get into the Word or my quiet time. Just too busy. I want to share with you Luke 5. In this chapter, Jesus had just healed a man with leprosy, and he told the man not to let people know, but of course the word got out. And everyone was around trying to be healed. And yet it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, if you think you're busy, I would challenge you to look at Jesus. Because I can promise you, you're not more busy than he was. Yet Jesus knew the importance of spending time with the Father. He knew the source of life. And he still found time to connect in that. I want you to think about this analogy. I got this from men's breakfast yesterday, but I changed it a little bit. So let's say you're playing football, and there's a player that just runs out onto the field and he skips the huddle. Okay, they start to play, the play blows up, you know, nothing works because this one person skipped the huddle and messed up the entire play, ran the wrong play. Now think about it this way. The huddle is our solitude with Christ. We can't get out onto the field and be in the game. We can't run the right play if we don't know what play to run. We have to get into the Word and we have to be with Jesus to know what the right thing is to do. And just the same, like we learned at men's breakfast yesterday, you can't stay in the huddle. But we have to get that connection to Jesus. And then we have to go run the plays that he tells us to run. We got to go in the battle and be on the offensive side. This involves us setting aside our distractions and being intentional with our time with Jesus. If you come and say that you can't find time to practice solitude daily, the first thing I'm probably going to do is ask you to pull up your screen time. Because we can't find 30 minutes to spend with Jesus today, but we can spend 3 hours on our phones. Now you may ask, why would I just want to be lonely and go sit by myself? Instead of me answering this one, I'm going to give a couple definitions, and then I'm going to let someone who studied this far more than I have answer that one. So loneliness is inner emptiness. It is involuntarily or unwillingly being alone. While solitude is inner fulfillment, it's a heart posture of silence and togetherness with God. Now, what I was saying by somebody who studied it far more than me, there's a man named Richard Foster, and he wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline. And he has a whole chapter on solitude, and it's very eye-opening. And it helps us set a path for better connection with God. And he says, solitude is more a state of mind and heart than it is a place. There is solitude of the heart that can be maintained at all times. Crowds or lack of them have little to do with this inward attentiveness. He goes on to say, if we possess inward solitude, we do not fear being alone, for we know that we are not alone. Nor do we fear being with others, for they do not control us. In the midst of noise and confusion, we are settled into a deep inner silence. What he is saying here is solitude can come from wherever you are. It's not a place you are. It's a heart posture. You can be surrounded by people, or you can be alone and still not be in solitude. You need to be able to control your state of mind and your heart to be present with the Lord. Now, I think we also have to think about silence a little bit different, too. Yes, it's true that silence, without silence, there is no solitude. But what if silence isn't what we think it is? Silence sometimes requires the absence of speech, but it always involves listening. Foster says, the purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and hear. Control rather than no noise is the key to silence. So a quick picture of what solitude looks like is controlling your heart and your mind, bringing into silence before the Lord, to focus on listening and hearing God. And I want us all to do that today. So in just a minute, we're going to take some time where no one's speaking, and I want each of you to enter that place of solitude in your heart, to listen to the voice of God and to hear him speaking with you. Now, this may not be an audible voice, but God still speaks. So for the next couple minutes, I want you to assume whatever posture you would like and enter a time of solitude with the Lord. Lord, would you take this time to speak to us? Would you fill our hearts and our minds with your presence? Help us to focus on you, to hear your voice. Lord, would you be with us? Would you give us the strength and remembering to come before you every day, Lord, in silence and solitude, to let you work through us? Lord, you are so good. And it's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Now Jim and his team can go ahead and make their way forward to close us out in worship.